Let's give a happy welcome back to our very own sister, Jocelyn. Yes. She did that. Let me tell you, I ain't never been to the Army. I ain't never been to the Marines and none of that. But I just see it on TV and the stuff that they make them go through. You got to be a special kind of person to go through that. Amen. But she went through it. Her being here is a testimony that God is faithful. I just know that she was going through things, and there was times she was thinking about God. A, why did I make this choice? But B, am I going to get through this? But the faithfulness of God, she came back leaner and meaner and mind more strong and able to deal with some stuff. Amen? Amen. So, sis, we want to welcome you back as you enjoy your family. I know you'll go back here and very soon and carry out the orders of the U.S. government. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray and let's see what God has to say today. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. God, I thank you because you are good. Actually, God, the fact of saying you are good, that's really an understatement. I don't even know if there's a word to explain how magnificent and awesome you are. But God, I'll do my best in my native language to try to express that, God. But even when my English falls short, I ask, God, that our hearts today, my God, our hearts today are able to articulate your goodness. So, Lord, we bless you today. We thank you for, God, what you have in store for these next few services we have up. Father, we know that you are waiting and eager to speak a word of instruction and encouragement and fullness to your people today. And Lord, I thank you that I get to be a part of that. So, Father, I ask today that you help me articulate this word, these spiritual concepts and the natural concepts, Father. Help me drive home the points you want me to drive home. And God, I'll just ride. You drive, but I'll just ride. So, Father, we clear all hearts today and clear all minds today that they can receive the unadulterated power of the Word of God today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So before I start today, I want to give a few disclaimers. Amen? Now, how many of you know it is a task to speak at times? You're going through and battling so many things when you're trying to speak. And even as a speaker, we have to do our due diligence to try to tie everything up and speak properly and communicate thoughts as best as we can. And sometimes under the anointing, it ain't that clean. Amen? Amen. Just a real quick note. I want to thank Apostle Sean and Mama Joan. They prayed for me. I wasn't feeling good. As soon as I hit the door, I began to feel sick. And they picked up on that. How many of us know it's good to have praying mothers and praying people around you that knows and can sense what's going on in your life, even when you don't? Yes. Amen. So I want to thank you. I feel great. I feel great. Like she prayed and prayed and prayed until it left. My God, we need people like that. Amen. I mean, she didn't just give me a Hail Mary. She prayed and stayed on that thing. Thank you, Kendra, until it left. So I don't want to start without saying thank you. Amen. Amen. Okay, so what I was saying was sometimes when we speak and when we declare and we preach, it's not always clean. So I'm going to ask you today, because we know that this 9 o'clock service is our short service, okay? I can only hit things from a high level. I can't get intricate like I want to. So I'm going to ask you to do your due diligence as listeners to hear the overall thought in what I'm saying. I'm not going to chase every bunny. I'm not going to chase every possibility. I just need y'all to rock with me and rock with what God is trying to do in this place. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Today, I'm going to talk about, as you know, we've been talking about maturity. In today's message, as the Lord has put it on my heart, if you're taking notes, it's called Moving Onward to Emotional Maturity. Yeah, it's going to get hot in here. Hot in here. Moving onward to emotional maturity. And I generally use scriptures, but we're going to rock with 1 Corinthians 13:11. You can turn there. I'm not going to read it, but I'll reference it. And basically, this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. And he says, when I was a child, I'm going to paraphrase it. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I spoke like a child. In the HBSC, he even uses this word, reasoning. He said, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen? Amen. Well, first of all, let's just deal with emotions. How many of us know emotions are not a bad thing? Right? Come on now. By the skin of what we see, we got some emotional people out here. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That's the way God has crafted our church. We know that emotions aren't a bad thing. And I think sometimes what we lose in the scope of going to church, we know that Christ came as our example. And we are to be like him in every way. But oftentimes what is always missed in our pursuit of becoming like Christ is becoming like Christ emotionally. We talk about staying away from sin, and we talk about the power and sonship, but we never talk about actually becoming like Christ emotionally. In some sects and some denominations of Christianity, some shy away from emotionalism. Some churches you can go to, they sing hymns and they're dry faced, dry mouth, no emotion. And if we have a relationship with the Lord, how many of us know ain't nothing worse in general than just an emotionless, dry relationship? You want a relationship where you can laugh, where that person makes you laugh and y'all cry, where you kind of experience the whole emotional rainbow with. That's like a real good relationship. That's a rich relationship. Amen?
Amen.
And unfortunately, in some denominations, they have ripped away emotions in their worship experience. So in my research, I was looking at emotions. And in a Christianity Today article written by G. Howard Hansen in the Christianity Today, he writes something regarding emotions that knocked my socks off. This is what he writes. He writes, the gospel writers paint their portraits of Jesus using a kaleidoscope of brilliant emotional colors. Jesus felt compassion. He was angry, indignant. He was consumed with zeal. He was troubled, greatly distressed, very sorrowful, depressed, deeply moved, and grieved. He sighed. He wept and sobbed. He groaned. He was in agony. He was surprised and amazed. He rejoiced very greatly. He was full of joy. He greatly desired and loved. That's your Jesus. The full rainbow of emotion. thoughts. When I begin to think about the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13:11, the one we just read, let's look at it a little more closer. He said when he was a child, he spoke like a child and he thought like a child. Here's what I want to kind of lean on just for a quick second. He reasoned like a child. Then later on in the scripture, he said he put away childish things. So, you know, looking at that, we see that there is a connection between reasoning and action. Thought life and action. Because his reasoning, his thought life matured, it moved him to do something that reflected his thought life. When you ask me, what is emotional maturity? Look at your neighbor and ask him, say, what is emotional maturity? Now, I'm talking spiritually. I'm going to give you a spiritual definition of what emotional maturity looks like. Are you ready? It is the ability to produce the correct emotion according to the situations and circumstances in your life, according to how God sees it. It is the ability to produce the correct emotion according to any situation or circumstance in your life through the lens of God or how God sees it. If you need me to repeat it again, got you. Emotional maturity. It is the ability to produce the correct emotion according to any and every situation in your life or circumstance through the lens of how God sees it. It meaning your circumstance. Now, if you've been in church as long as I have, faith is always taught, right? And sometimes faith can be taught from a standpoint where you almost have to become a super Christian, right? Super Christian, right? Like everything in your life is going to hell in a handbasket and you got to go through it smiling. And in your mind, you like, God, you. This is crazy. This don't make sense. Yeah. I got a foreclosure notice on my door, and I'm supposed to act like everything is okay. Like, who does that? Right? How about what it does not mean is that emotional maturity, what it does not mean is that you neglect the reality of your situation. Let's be clear. Your situation is your situation, and it is 100% real. But we don't want to go to the other spectrum where our situations in our life have been so rough, so tough, so rumble that we become emotionally mute. What does that look like? I remember when I was going to Bible school and I had gone through a terrible breakup and I was mad at God. And my declaration out of my mouth was, God don't want me to be married. So I began to mute myself to everything regarding relationship and marriage. That's being emotionally mute. But how many of us know when we're emotionally mute, we're not really being real? We're not being authentic. See, this sometimes happens when we're aspiring to do things for God or we're following our passions and we keep hitting roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, and you just considered in yourself, you know what? God don't want me to do this. So that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about emotional maturity. So what does it look like? Emotional maturity is this, that your emotions line up with heaven. That when heaven celebrates, you celebrate. When heaven grieves, you grieve. When heaven is joyous, you're joyous. And I want to make a strong declaration today that you cannot express emotional maturity beyond the level of your spiritual maturity. They run parallel. Why? Because this is why. Because first of all, you have to ask yourself, what are your emotions rooted in? Are your emotions rooted in the Word of God? Are your emotions rooted in your relationship with God? Or are your emotions rooted in your flesh, your carnal desires, your wants? So if your emotional maturity or if your emotional substance is rooted in the flesh, you can never stand. This is why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the face of death, when the situation showed itself every reason to be fearful and scared, this is why they're able to stand up and talk to the king like they don't have no sense. That's emotional maturity. See, we have to understand emotional maturity does not always mimic the situation that you're in. At some point, we have to ask ourselves before we skits out, what does God say about this situation? And if your emotions don't reflect the Word of God, if your emotions don't reflect who your God is, then you always be moved. We have to understand that your emotions are processed through the grid of your mind and your understanding. This is why one thought can throw your day off. You had a great weekend and you come in to work and somebody say something to you before you hit the desk, and now it's a blue Monday. Emotional maturity means you have some type of control and mastery over your emotions. And your control and mastery of your emotions isn't about self-will. Because we all have a degree of self-control, some of us more than others. But your emotional maturity lies within, what does your God say about the situation? And this is why we have to renew our minds in the Word, because situations and circumstances and vicissitudes will hit your life and your emotions will be everywhere. We talk about anchoring our spirit in the Word, but how about for once in a lifetime, how about we anchor our emotions in the Word? This is why Paul could narrowly defeat death and go through the things he still go through, but his joy is still anchored in God. Let me tell you something. Emotions are like the lights on your dashboard. When that check engine light comes on, you know, you gotta pop the hood to see what's going on under it. So I know I can tell what's going on under your hood by the emotions. And many of us forget the necessity of renewing our minds. To touch your neighbor and say, are you emotionally mature? This is what God is calling us to, emotional maturity. He wants you to, somebody say, grow up. See, let me tell you something. Let me give you a story. How many of us know that if God chastised you, if he whooping your tail, do you know that he loves you?
Yeah, that's right.
At 8 years old, my mom tore me a new one. I might have played hooky or something, and I'm sure it was deserved, but I'm sitting on the steps. You know that stutter cry, right? You beat me at 8 years old. She did things to me I never thought an eight-year-old could withstand at that time. It might be illegal now. How many of us know, how many of us had that kind of whooping? I mean, let me tell you something. My father was sufficient at whooping some tail. I'm going to chase this bunny for a minute. He was sufficient at whooping some tail. My dad, ain't nothing more dangerous than my dad saying he going to whoop your butt, right? And then he go into his room and you hear the buckle and that thing clinging. And you like, it's getting ready to go down. Like, oh my goodness. But my mom said something to me that rocked me at 8 years old. And as a child, my reasoning couldn't understand it. She said, I'll whoop you because I love you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm on the step like, what kind of mom are you? You mean you beat me? I mean, my mom and dad would play tennis. They'd be like, and I'd be running, and with the belt, I mean, playing tennis. And I'm like, what kind of parent will give a beating? Because I was a runner. I never stood there. I wasn't going to give it up. I mean, when my dad whooped me, he'd have to go sit on the edge of the bed. Because I'm not giving it up. But my eight-year-old reasoning could not understand, how could you beat me the way you beat me? And you tell me you love me. It wasn't until I became a man. It wasn't until I matured into my thinking. See, when we don't parent at a child level. We parent from the perspective of an adult. We know the ins, the outs, the ins when it comes to what our kids are getting into. My father would tell me all the time, son, the tricks have already been played. You can't hustle me. You can't lie to me because I already did it before. And you know, even as a child or even as a parent, you're watching your kid and you see the hustle that they're playing, the game they're running because you done ran it. And you're like, my God, this is little me. But your reasoning at that point, you don't have the emotional capacity to really put your arms around it. And I want to declare today that God loves us. And that emotional maturity has to come from a standpoint that when God is whooping our tail, that it's not to make us feel bad. It's not to condemn us. But it's because he loves us. Emotional maturity, when you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus never played victim. When you look at emotional maturity never looks at oneself. This is why I said emotional maturity has to be viewed through the eyes of God, because there's always a bigger picture. See, emotional maturity is tricky because there are times that situations will present themselves that look like you should be crying, but actually you should be laughing. There are situations that will present itself that it looks like you should be having a funeral, but you really should be having a celebration. See, many of us have been in relationships far too long and we're still lamenting the relationship. And you can only see it through your personal 360-degree view of how it's going to affect you and not where God is setting you up for your life. See, and our emotions, unfortunately, at times keeps us trapped in our own purview of what God is trying to do in your life. So before we lose our minds, before we throw a fit, before we get mad, we got to sometimes have the intestinal fortitude to step back and ask God, how should my emotions be in this situation? Emotional, you will never meet or reach emotional maturity if it's about you. See, we have to understand that there's situations and seasons where people will hurt you. And in your emotional, the correct emotional response would be to be upset, would be to feel betrayed. But if you look at it through the eyes of God, you ask yourself, how could Jesus give Judas a kiss? That's not the correct emotional response in the natural. But Jesus was looking at it through the spiritual. We have to align every area of our lives the way God will want us to align every area of our lives. I'm telling you this not because God downloaded it in my spirit, but I'm telling you this because I've walked it out. There have been situations and circumstances where in the natural I should have cried, but I should have been celebrating. Emotional maturity. Apostle talked about it last week about going to apologize to somebody or some people who offended you that really don't deserve it. But he's trying to grow us up. Some of us in this room ain't apologizing to nobody in 15 years. You always the issue, not you, they. They're always the issue. God is trying to get us to grow up. How about, you know, if you know somebody got an issue with you, how about you go to them sometime? That's how God, that's, if you know your brother has an issue with you, leave your gift at the altar. See, at some point, we got to begin to think through scripture. What is God saying about this? And this is why you cannot grow emotionally and still be spiritually here. Because you don't have no scripture to think through. Nothing in your belly arises when those things that catch your life that would try to provoke an emotion, nothing rises up. So the only thing you got to fall back on is the carnality, the flesh. I'm about to get even. Instead of, okay, I want to get even, but God is saying, hold your peace, revenge is mine. We need scripture to think through. Touch your neighbor and ask him, are you emotionally mature? Let me tell you something. Mature people, even when the situation provides itself where you should give a legitimate response, fight back. Curse them out. Even legitimate issues that demands a legitimate response, even emotionally mature people know, I gotta hit the reset button. What am I saying? Let me use this as an example. How many of us use the internet? Right? How many of you know that when you are on a website, that after a certain period of time, the web page refreshes itself? right? So I'm on CNN looking at the news, and every 3 to 5 minutes, the website refreshes itself because something could happen. Updates happen in the news. Spiritually mature people know even when their first response to whatever hits their life could be a correct one, they know how to hit the refresh button. See, when Lazarus died, Jesus didn't, "I'll take care of it." He cried. But after he cried, he had to hit the refresh button. He went from a place of humanity into a place of sonship and said, "God, not for my sake, but for their sake." Some of us stay in a position too long of anger and hurt and despair and bitterness, but we don't change, we don't hit the reset button. David, after a battle, a Ziklag, they took his kids, took his wife, and all of his other commanding officers, and they wept until there was nothing left in them. But after a while, David had to hit the reset button and said, "Bring me my ephod." He stepped out of humanity and into his sonship. Too long we stay in that humanity seat and we don't step over into sonship. God says, we got to hit the reset button. See, we don't understand that the sorrow and the hurt, it was legitimate. But he didn't stay there. He could have gave up. He could have walked away. Yes, they talked about you. Yes, they lied on you. Yes, people hurt you. But the question is, are you going to hit the reset button of your soul? Mature people know how to switch it up. Mature people know that, okay, 8 through 12 was a bad day. But from 12 to 5 till I get off, I'm going to change the area of my mind. God wants us to grow up. Spiritual maturity. I'm closing. Let me tell you, there are legitimate issues that deserve legitimate responses. But if you're not looking at your issue through the lens of how God sees it and your emotions don't line up with it, you are out of order. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane had a purpose. He had a destiny. He knew that he had to die, but his flesh started acting up. He proverbially started sweating bullets. Any man facing crucifixion at that time would have had a nervous breakdown. Should have had a nervous breakdown. But he said, "God, not my will, but your will be done." And an angel was released from heaven to touch him. And he had no problems after that. God is after our emotions. Touch your neighbor. Tell him God is after your emotions. Look at somebody else and say, God is after your thought pattern. I'm going to give you real quick the ABCs of how to apply this. What does this mean to me? How do I do this? A, allow yourself to be challenged. Some of us don't like that. Allow yourself to be challenged. Understand this. The very thing that creates your emotions must be challenged. That's your thought process. And oftentimes, if we don't put ourselves in the correct circle or the right circle to allow your thought process to be challenged, life will challenge you. And James said it this way. He said, count it all joy that when diverse temptations come to your way. Count it joy? Count it joy that I'm getting ready to go through some stuff? But our thought processes need to be challenged. B, we need to see the need. We need to see the need to change. We need to see the need that, okay, I don't react the way God would want me to react in situations of my life. God, I need help. You know what's crazy about emotions? How many of us know emotions have a lot of weight? Emotions, people have made a litany of bad decisions based on emotions. And this is how the enemy works. He works in your mind of emotions. He works not only in the mind, in the area of your emotions, but the beautiful thing that the enemy does, and I got to give him just a little bit of peace, that when he works in the area of your emotions, he likes to work by himself. He likes to isolate you. Yeah. See, Jesus began to talk to his disciples about him having to die and what he would have to endure, the cross. And Peter pulls Jesus to the side. He pulled him to the side. He didn't have a conversation with everybody. He pulled him to the side and said, Jesus, no, this can't be. And you know what Jesus did? He called him a devil. He said, you savor the things of man and not the things of God. Wow. What am I saying? Was Peter's issue legit? Yeah, it was legit. He didn't want to see him die. Look, the I, the R, and the S was after Peter. Peter and Jesus went and got a fish and said, here, pay your taxes. Peter couldn't fish. And Jesus said, yo, throw your net on the right side. Like, Peter had a legitimate issue. Like, no, life is good. But Jesus, where Peter was looking at things through the flesh, Jesus said, through the eyes of God and the purpose for my life, I have to line up emotionally with what God is getting ready to do. Here, C, be willing. And I'm going to say be consistently willing. Not, okay, I feel good today, I'm going to be willing. Be consistently willing. Keep it on the cross. Make that your declaration in prayer every day. God, help me line up this. Help me line up these emotions. These emotions can go wacko, jacko sometimes. And I'm going to tell you, when you continually keep those things that you know you're weak on the cross, God will give you strength. He will enable you, and he will grace you. There is enough grace in heaven to see you through. You know, the power about salvation isn't necessarily that we can cast a demon out, though that's in salvation. The power of salvation isn't necessarily that if I get sick, I'm healed. The power of salvation is that God can change your mind. That's the power. That's when you know if somebody's saved. How do you think? How do you move? What is the grid process of your mind, and how does it operate? It's one thing not to sin, but it's another thing to not sin, because there's a greater knowledge and level of revelation of Christ working in you. It's a difference. It's a difference. Emotional maturity. We have to move on to emotional maturity. Every day is not a birthday. You know, we turn up. Every day is not a holiday. But there is an emotional stability in God that he can give you, that regardless of what you're going through, you can be firmly rooted and grounded in him. In him. This is what God is calling us to. How many of us feel like, okay, I hear you, God. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to spend the next 5 minutes praying. I honestly don't.